y'all been waiting too long. So I came back this time with a new song. Same old attitude, wanting y'all to sing along. What we talking about? Fill it up and put that thing on. Know we got that brown, holy water. Watch it, y'all be sipping merch, dropping black, bless it, la, pop it. Tanya, pour it, Georgia, rock it. Every Sunday at 7, yeah, you can't stop it. Like, share, follow, don't forget to comment. Getting baptized by every topic. Heard we the best, but I ain't the one that gossip. Brown, holy water, watch it. Y'all be sipping merch, drop it. Black, bless it, la, pop it. Tanya, pour it, Georgie, rock it. Brown, holy water, watch it. Y'all be sipping merch, drop it. Black, bless it, la, pop it. Tanya, pour it, Georgie, rock it. Brown, holy water, watch it. Y'all be sipping merch, drop it. Black, bless it, la, pop it. Tanya, pour it, Georgie, rock it.
Yeah. Y'all already know what it is. Your boy Black Success. We in the building right now. The homie Lie is gonna run a little bit of late. You know what I mean? We don't know what time that is, but he will be here. Ladies, introduce yourselves before we get this started.
It's your favorite tomboy Danny, aka Georgie, whatever you want to call me.
Santi with the T, it's Tani, I'm here.
And we got a special guest in the building. For Easter Sunday, introduce yourself.
It's your boy, the minister's. I'm slapping the table. The minister's in the building. I told you I was gonna be back, and I told y'all don't come at me with no nonsense because I'm ready for it. I'm ready for your nonsense. So don't do it.
What you're saying is today they're gonna get the word.
They gonna get it. They all getting it today. Y'all getting it. I'm so hype. I got it on me. It's dripping.
I got it on me.
Dripping off of me. Today.
Bible in the pocket. But listen, before we pull out the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
What we gonna do is hot topics with Tanya. Bad girl, talk to us.
Son, don't hot topics me. Don't put me in the hot topics category. Mm-hmm. Damn it. But we had a very interesting start to the week. I don't know what y'all were on Monday, but I may or may not be subscribed to Unwind with Sasha K's YouTube channel. And the first video of Monday was her. It's made me clutch my pearls. She was interviewing the alleged boyfriend of Kelvin Hunter. And if you don't know who Kelvin Hunter is at this point in time, this is Wendy Williams' husband that she has officially filed for divorce from him. And as soon as she filed for divorce, here comes Avion Foster, who is an artist managed by Kelvin Hunter and has been managed by him for a couple of years, alleging that he is also or was also sleeping with Kelvin Hunter. And not only was he sleeping with her, with Kelvin, he was molested. He was forced to do sexual acts more than once during the time. And apparently that was the price he had to pay for stardom.
But he's not a star.
Right?
He definitely is a star.
So I'm a little confused. That sounds like a bad business deal, if you ask me.
Very bad. A very, very bad one. But the story was nasty. So if it wasn't...
And why is he talking now?
He said he had respect for Wendy Williams.
So now he doesn't because they have a divorce.
Listen to man. I just saying what he man said. He said he has respect for Wendy Williams, and because if she had never filed for divorce, he would have never came out and said anything. But because she has she's trying to cut ties with Kelvin, this was his chance to officially come out and say something. But what I will highlight is before Wendy had officially filed for a divorce, we had word that Kelvin was served with he was being sued. We never knew what the case was closed. This was during the time when Wendy was, you know, sick and whatever, and we had all our speculations going. But during that time, it also came up that Kelvin is being sued for something. The case is sealed at this point in time. No one got it out. When Wendy filed for divorce, Avion came on and said, hey, by the way, this is my case. So it may have a little bit of merit to it. Because this doesn't come out of nowhere.
So basically, Wendy Williams is attracted to bisexual men. And now she's complaining about being attracted to men.
First of all, Avion said Wendy got her men on the side. Wendy don't be fucking Kelvin because apparently his dick is little. He lasts 30 seconds. Wendy be doing her thing. Allegedly, Wendy and Charlamagne had something.
Huh? why are they divorcing them?
Because according to Avion, this is all alleged. Don't quote me. Don't screenshot my video. According to Avion, for business reasons, of course, they're together for the years. And the condition was Serena cannot have a baby because that's going to be something you can't clean up. Serena Hudson had a baby, so the divorce is happening. Everybody's story kind of working along the same thread. It's just
now crazy.
It's horrible. And then the Avion guy is a version of a hermaphrodite too. He actually had his vagina sewed up. It was nasty. Like, yeah, I was.
What else?
I went down the rabbit hole.
What is the pastor doing? He's talking about hermaphrodites. Yeah.
What's wrong with hermaphrodite? You just born in two parts. This they can't is, help it. Okay. Yeah, that was. Isn't that by God's design?
What else?
Absolutely nothing. Well, we'll talk about that later. Don't give me started.
What else is going on?
I'm starting to sweat already.
Karma came back around for Kodak Black, y'all. Actually, let's back up. Did we talk about the diss track Kodak Black? T.I. allegedly had for Kodak Black. Did we touch that? No, we didn't. So T.I. dropped some snippets on Instagram or wherever a couple days ago that seemed to be a diss to Kodak Black. Kodak came back with a diss track to T.I., dragged his whole family, including his wife, and named the song Expeditiously. Expeditiously. And now, well, earlier in the week, Kodak, he hadn't showed up for one of his concerts. Yeah. And people were, his fans were going crazy. It turned out that he was actually detained at the Canadian border by ICE.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a brief intermission. Craven Moorhead.
Handsome lies here.
Like, that's good, a great shirt.
Thank you, man.
Why you always get one? Huh? Like, that'd be some stuff you never, like, think, like, yo, Black Way of Lord from Grandma.
Way my account set up, I really can't afford two. You know what I'm saying? But I'm getting there.
You can't boil out for two of us.
I'm getting there. Yeah.
Hi, La.
Shout out to Ramen. What's up, brother? Bring Holy back to the water.
Bring Holy back in the water. Yeah, let's go, champ. Let's go, champ.
I'm on one zone. I got one more topic. Just so you know, I have a mic just like you, La. You're not special today, La. Anyway. And my Caribbean people.
Hold on, wait.
You're not special today. You're not special today. That's what you missed.
No, fuck the microphone. What did I miss?
She gave the Wendy Williams spill.
And I'm tired of Wendy Williams.
You
making Wendy Williams eye show now.
Right.
This bitch.
Get out of here. No, we got her eye.
We packed her the fuck last week.
Now she said T.I. had a snippet about Kodak Black. Black responded, mentioned his whole family, called his wife ugly, called his kids faggots. Right, and T.I. tried to make a video about that. Like, he ain't even pressed that situation. It's beyond talking now. Once he put the wife and kids in there, you gotta pull up. What you gonna do? You gotta do what the fuck Remy Ma did. Punch that idol.
I was about to get to Remy, man.
Remy did not do that.
He said, what's
that? Shout out to Auntie Remy.
You gotta go punch that idol.
She's on parole. She did not foul. Do that.
That Britney bitch is.
The Lord said, defend your family. See that?
Facts. Facts.
You put that?
That's a revelation.
And wasn't she on like just two? Wasn't Remy 2 days or 2 months just about to be out of her probation?
2 months.
Stepdaughter.
2 months.
Yeah, stepdaughter. Come on, man. She didn't do that. I don't believe she did it, man. Let her get off the papers first, then claim that ass with me. You know what I'm saying?
I think Hammerstein is on. It's on camera.
Fuck dog.
It has to be.
But Remy been about the life, so I'm not surprised. But
who?
But
who that? The one she punched?
Yeah.
It wasn't her, man.
But the way she's dragging. Oh, go ahead.
You could talk.
Oh, the way she's dragging it, like, and how she's like, she wants to speak out about it, and she's showing her black eye. Like, you can't talk all of that and then want to play victim.
But what's crazy? Someone posted a video of her. Cause she claimed she beat up some girl.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I be beating up bitches. Like,
That's my point.
The same energy, dog. Like,
now you want to play victim?
Now you want to go to 12 and file out a report. And
you taking pictures for freaking Fox 5 with your eye.
You
like,
you want to be a bully? You got to bully everybody.
You
right?
Die by the sword. Thank you.
But Remy didn't do that. I don't think she did that, man. Give her a month or two before she claimed that one.
Remy's a nice person.
I don't want her going back to jail. No going back to jail, man.
But Remy's a big chick. Remy not a little chick.
I heard she like 5'10".
Yeah, write me a big chick. She a linebacker? I think she wear like a size 9. You feel me? Big hands. Yeah, like she ain't no little chick. She probably about a buck 90. She's not playing.
She do look good. Solid.
You ain't just lifting up. You ain't lifting up.
Why do you think Papoose never cheated?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You got missionary sex.
Missionary sex only.
Not lifting up Remy.
You have to fear your girls, man. And they ain't loyalty, it's fair. Pat don't want to do nothing, gets head knocked off his shoulders.
Now, who you telling? Mind do kung fu, motherfucker. This shit crazy out this motherfucker. Anything else?
Last but certainly not least, for those of you who know, Buju Banton is on his long walk to freedom tour. He has concerts all over the Caribbean. He started in the Bahamas, and he's hopping from place to place. He will be in Guyana May 25th, so pull up Guyana National Stadium. I will be there, Guyana Carnival 2019. but his last concert was yesterday, Saturday, in Trinidad and Tobago. Buju touched down in the airport. They gave him this whole coming to America welcoming night. There was people dancing and drums and all that shit. But he's in his hotel. The Trinidad police came to his hotel randomly and said they have a warrant to search for drugs. And everybody's upset, especially us Caribbean people. It's like, this man just came out of jail. He's just trying to make his money. He's trying to feed his family. Right. Do right. He was in there for 8 years. He's trying to touch everybody who still loves and appreciates him. And here comes the Trinidad Police Department. They think it's a setup with the police from the U.S. Wow. They think it's a setup, but he all of a sudden got a warrant in the middle of the night Saturday to search his hotel for drugs, and everybody went ballistic. They dragged Trinidad through the dirt. My Caribbean people, that's what we doing right now. But Buju posted a video. Buju is not, he's not hampered by it. He says, I still love Trinidad, I'm still here to do music. We see the bad mind, but it will not prosper. So
he was clean.
He was clean.
Oh, that's what's up.
He was clean.
They smoked all the weed and they snorted all the cocaine.
Yeah, damn right.
Don't do that to my Buju.
There was nothing left.
You're missing one topic.
Which one?
Jay-Z going to Webster Hall.
Facts.
Jay-Z was at Webster Hall next week.
It's disrespectful. That's for the concert?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And they sold out. No, I didn't get it.
What they did was
they put it on title, right?
They had renovated Webster Hall, so now they're reopening. They need to be big.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they booked Jay-Z, but they set us up. So they said, "Oh, if you have American Express Thursday 10:00, you can buy tickets." All the tickets were sold out by 10:00.
Weren't they like $500? It
was $250 each.
Wow.
They said the tickets were $500.
That was like the regular. No, now on freaking StubHub, they're going for $800 to $1,300.
Yeah, so are you trying to say people with fucked up credit didn't get to buy it?
Well, if you don't have American Express.
So what you're trying to say?
Take a rush call, nigga.
If you had Capital One, this was not for you. They was not talking to you.
Nigga, I thought they were my rush call.
Now, it was gone. It was
no
gone.
Legs.
It was all. I mean, I got.
But
two
he only
tickets,
singing like.
But that's
what?
Neither here or there.
He just singing. They only doing like one.
He's
like one side
he's,
of an album.
He's doing
B side. Like
he's doing B side. So he's doing all the records that didn't make the album.
Okay.
That's
what B side. A B side concert. Yeah.
So he's doing a whole bunch of records that you don't.
I never heard.
You never heard.
Listen, I'm going to Webster Hall the next day and I'm doing Seaside.
Yeah.
Y'all never heard of none of these records. I'm
going to see Avengers. Fuck it.
$50. $20.
I'll be in the movie theater.
Fill it up.
That's not a bad price.
How many people fit in Webster
Hall? I don't know, because with the renovations, you know, Webster Hall is three floors. So with the renovations, I don't know how they set it up. You know, I don't know if it's
just
the
main floor.
I don't
think I've ever been to Webster Hall.
Make them tickets $15. $15.
Webster Hall is crazy. It's really four floors. There's a basement.
Basement,
too.
Yeah. So, a lot of people
Webster
do
Hall
shit
is huge.
In the basement.
It's actually a landmark. They can never close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can never close. But happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah, happy Easter.
I'm going to stop being a moderator at this point because... No, the guy that you guys love is in the building. You know what I mean? I'm the short guy. The 6 foot guy is right here. He gonna talk to y'all.
I'm 5'8". You heard? 5'8".
Don't try to jack my fucking height down.
Nah, so we all 5'8". I'm saying good dental, bro. We on the same thing.
What's good, though?
Let's go. We got the pastor in the building. We gonna get to, you know what I'm saying? We gonna holler at him, chop it up with him later, but he gonna jump on some of our conversations. So today I want to start with. I want to start with that one. Not with the pastor.
My Wi-Fi is all jacked up.
We're gonna take a semi-serious topic. We're gonna talk about depression and mental health today. Mm. All right.
That's what's up.
Have Have you ever been depressed? And if so, how did you shake it? Anybody?
Well, before we go there, right?
Oh, boy.
Today, I seen a funny post. And the post
this
said,
nigga.
50% of black women suffer from depression.
Okay.
So, I said, you know what? That's a high number. You
that's
know,
half.
Right, that's half. Right? I mean, I got seven sisters, so I'm over here adding them up. I'm like, all right, not this one, not this one. So, I'm a little confused. So, when I asked, I said, hey, you know, what, like, what's the source? Who gave you this number? Because I feel like on social media sometimes we just could say anything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 98% of men are faithful. We could just say, we could just make up numbers. So I'm like, why would you put such a negative thing on black women and make it a black woman thing opposed to actually doing some real research and get a credible website? And it's still a survey. So it's not like you surveyed everyone to even get that kind of number. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So I just felt like that was off. But me personally, depression, no. I'm pretty much a happy go-go guy.
You never know, been depressed?
Nah. Sorry, it's
what
crazy.
What is the definition of depression first?
Don't give me the go line. Let me go look.
I mean, well, I'm going to speak. I was diagnosed with depression, so I'm going to tell y'all what the hell it was. I had two bouts of depression. I had manic depression, and I had clinical depression. I had both.
What's the difference?
Yeah, Tommy's.
All right. Manic depression is bipolar disorder. Basically, you're really good, really hype, got a whole bunch of energy in a good space, and then like this, your energy level drops and you just don't want to be around anybody and you don't want to interact. You just go back in cocoon, basically. That's what manic depression is. It's officially bipolar disorder. So when I see people talking about, oh, I'm bipolar, I don't like people play with that concept because people use it to justify their crazy or justify their bullshit. Oh, I'm bipolar. No, bipolar means you're up and then you're down immediately. It's two poles. Clinical depression is when you're more or less, you're down all the time.
Bipolar is two poles.
Poles. Up and down. That's what
you
it means.
You didn't know that?
That's fucking crazy.
No, you're the one asking for the definition.
Hello?
What's the definition? We, you didn't know that?
We both did.
Right, so we also be learning.
The definition of bipolar is the definition of depression.
Okay.
Got you.
Then clinical is, for lack of a better term, more or less just down all the time. You know, you're just you're up enough to function to go to work and come back, but like you do nothing else. Like you work in a cycle and whatever. I had clinical, I say around 2013, 14, and then I was bipolar around 15, 16.
How did you shake it?
Tried therapy wasn't for me. I didn't like the idea of going to a random person and talking. It just wasn't for me. It may work for somebody else. What I was lucky to have, I had a version of what I call a version of therapy. I have friends who are really good listeners and were very patient with me. So I would verbalize, I would unpack. I unpacked to them everything that was bothering me, everything that was on my mind, everything that the average person would be afraid to tell their friend. Or part of depression, you just think no one can help you. You just don't know how to have the conversation. You don't even want to tell people you're depressed. You really think you're in a bubble by yourself and nothing else is happening. And there's a part of you also thinks that nothing else is happening to other people. So you really isolate yourself mentally, and a lot of people isolate themselves physically. Where they're really in a house. Like imagine me not smiling, like no energy. Literally just go to work, come in, don't call my friends, don't text my friends. I want my best friend for half a year. She lives in Atlantic City. She refused to come and hang out with me because she's like, you're not my friend. I don't know this person. So she's like, I'm gonna give you some space. I'll talk to you, but I can't come around you because my energy was just so down to the ground. But I have a really good circle around me, and I had to fight out of the mental space I was in and realize that, hey, there's people around me who love me, so let me just stop being a piece of shit. And I just started, took a lot out of me, not off of nothing, but I just started to talk to them. I unpacked, and as I was telling them everything I felt, as is, they listened like I think a therapist would. They didn't just immediately try to find solutions. They just sat there and listened to me. That's one of the reasons I started Sunday brunch, because I had friends who literally come listen. Every Sunday we come and pick your ass up at 10 o'clock. We're gonna go have brunch. We stay out all day. So they made sure they kept me in the sunlight and kept me around good vibes and kept me around food and kept me around alcohol. It's one of the reasons that I still do Sunday brunch, because it's one of the things that actually made me happy for a long time. And I just had a really good support system that got me out. Other people need meds. Other people need a therapist. Other people don't trust people enough to tell them their problems. We live in a generation where you piss somebody off, you might see all your business on Facebook, or you might see all your business on Instagram. So there's that I know a lot of people battle with. And the truth is, I think all of us are fighting different demons. They're not the same. So if you are dealing with it, just know you're not the only person dealing with it. Like, high profile people suffer from depression. Beyonce had depression. Rihanna had depression. And they've said this before.
Hold on. How about you, Pastor? Before you found the Lord, did you ever get into dark places?
I mean,
think about the devil's work?
I mean, I'm from Brooklyn. It's a dark... No, I haven't ever... I've been depressed. I've had depressing moments, depressing times, you know, lost loved ones, broken hearts and stuff like that. But like depression diagnosed? No. It's lasted for days, even weeks sometimes, but no. Nothing where that, you know, I thought, well, I was down and never could pick myself up.
Never contemplated suicide?
Nah.
I think we all have contemplated
suicide. Well, I know I've had it.
Contemplated suicide.
I've contemplated.
Got to a place where I was
like, fuck it.
What do you consider contemplated? You ever thought about, man, listen,
I ain't never gonna get the gun and sit with it.
I was never sitting on the bed twirling, you know, playing
Russian
roulette by myself. No, but you know, I've always been around guns, so you know, I always, there's times I thought about going down the blaze of glory.
Yeah.
But it ain't happened.
Everything passed through everybody's mind.
But that's the thing too, because a part of depression is the things that you love to do, they don't do nothing for you anymore. Like, you don't feel the glory or the umph behind it. So I don't think I've ever been that low where, like, the things that I love to do have, like, they don't do anything for me. Like, they don't give me that umph. But I have had low moments. I've had a lot of low moments where you feel like, you know, you might feel less of, or you might feel unworthy or stuff like that. But like Tanya said, your support system, like having people around you that you know that you trust and that you know you can lean on, that could pick you up and be like, yo, like remind you of who you are, remind you of how worthy you are. And, you know, putting that in your head, you know what I mean, where you start talking to yourself like that, even if you don't feel it at that moment, but just pushing yourself to get through the situation. Absolutely. So.
Real quick, Tanya, you said you was a bipolar, so you still bipolar?
No, like, I'm not. Huh? I'm not bipolar anymore.
How do you get that out? Though that's something that's with you for life.
No, it's not. There's some people.
I said I thought. That's what I said.
No, it's not. It's not. You can fight through it. Like,
pray your way out.
Facts. Pray your way out. Facts.
Ain't it like a chemical imbalance or something like?
It's not. It's not that. It's not always that deep with everybody. Like, there are people who go into the hole and don't come out. And then there's people who go into the hole and fight their way out. So it's not like you, it's not like you're born with it. It's not, don't worry what these fucking people are telling you. It's not something you,
it's like a snap.
You're not born bipolar.
You're not born like that.
It's a mental disorder, but
okay,
it
you can learn it. You think people are born narcissists? Half of our behaviors are learned.
No, I mean that. I mean, like,
that's a mental disorder.
Mental disorder. People take medication for. People don't take medication for being a narcissist.
These people are giving you medication you should not have. That's a whole other conversation. By sure.
So I know people who have bipolar disorder.
Yeah, that's a different monster.
I'm just letting you know, like, the way they position.
Medication, I think, is different levels to it. So I think what you're talking about, when you need to be medicated to be calm,
I've seen some
that's a different level.
And a lot of kids, they're also telling these kids they have stuff like ADHD and giving them Ritalin. Whole other conversation.
Yeah, and they fuck you up more.
But you know what it is with the medication? It sedates you. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes, like, even I got diagnosed with ADHD and they gave me medicine and I took it one time to see how it would make me feel. It literally, like,
those that don't know, tell them what ADHD is.
Attention deficit disorder. So basically, what it does is it puts you in a trance. So I'll give this example. Usually people with ADHD, their mind is all over the place. There's like a bunch of stuff going on in your head. So what the medicine does is it places everything in like an area where everything isn't in a crowd. Everything goes to his area. But that also, with that, a lot of ADHD kids or people are creative. You know what I mean? They work in their own way. So it kind of takes away from that. And it kind of, like, brings you down. So a lot of people don't like to take it when, like, as an adult. Like, a lot of people don't like to take it because it brings you down.
How old were you when they told you?
I was an adult. When I, like, when I, but I read on it first because there were certain things that were happening with me that I couldn't understand. So I did the research on it, and then I went to a neurologist to get, to take the test or whatever. But, like, there are a lot of kids, they'll be quick to.
A neurologist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your brain doctor.
Yeah, brain doctor.
Yeah, I know. I just want to say it again.
Sounded good. Neurologist.
But
did they fix it?
You know, it's not, to me, it's a blessing. You get what I'm saying? Because I wouldn't be as creative if I wasn't. They call things that aren't of, like, normalcy or whatever within the society, they label it a disorder. But there are certain things, like Tanya said, that you can get over or you can learn to work with it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I think it's a blessing. I think it's great. My mind may not work like yours, but my mind works pretty fine, like, the way it is. Like, so you might not understand it, but I understand it. It's the same thing with autism. Mm-hmm. Same thing with all of these disorders. Their minds are just, they just work differently. Mm-hmm. But you have a lot of people, like a lot of kids who have now autism who are geniuses. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
I understand you a little better now.
Fuck you. Fuck
you. And the worst part about some, like, Ritalin, kids take it as a drug to get high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So it's like,
I mean, it is a drug.
It is a drug. But they take it as, like, they take this, like, they take weed. They take Ritalin to get high. Like, they sell that shit.
My next question is for the men, really. I mean, y'all can answer, too, but I'm going to start over with Black. Let me see what's going on with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is going to a therapist frowned upon in the Black community, especially for the men?
First of all, yes, my twin is on the show. We do look alike. That's it. Let's clear
I can't log on. Apparently, my internet is crazy.
Let's clear the air now. We do look alike. You know what I mean? But Lyle, I want to know that why is going to therapy for Black men
frowned upon?
Have
you ever went to therapy?
I got a good theory.
I never had to. I don't know why.
Cool, just go to therapy to talk. You ain't got to be sad or
nah. But this,
why is it frowned upon?
Look. I don't know. You know what I mean? I just feel like, you know, whatever you need is what you got to do. You know, like, it's kind of weird, like. I think people weigh in on society too much. You know what I mean? They let society dictate so much for them that sometimes you want to talk to a therapist to reconfirm whatever you was going to originally do. You understand? But that's what you want to do. That's what you should do. You understand? So I feel like when you, growing up, I feel like your parents either installed you being a part child, a child that want to fit in, or a child that don't mind standing out. The way my mom and pops raised me, I wasn't afraid to stand out. I was afraid being the only odd guy, or the guy that said the other answer. You understand? I was all right with that. So I never needed people.
That don't mean you wasn't raised with trauma and still need something.
I don't got no trauma.
How you know you got no trauma?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
But you gotta first recognize everybody has trauma. See, but there's not.
Look, I'm gonna try to tell you. That's the same thing the doctor did to y'all. The doctor told you, because I'm not normal, just because I don't got issues doesn't mean that I have a disorder.
Nobody's.
No. What I'm saying is not normal.
I'm agree with this. I don't think every single body has trauma, but I don't like that. I don't like the concept of today in this day and age is like somehow people are just like one time I said I'm happy. Somebody's like, no, you have functioning depression, like, because you had a fire. I'm like, no, it didn't affect me the way you think it is. It didn't how you would imagine it. It didn't do that to me. People are really saying you have functioning depression. Like, bitch, I'm happy. The fuck? Why can't you believe I'm happy?
My trauma is what I think everyone trauma is, just like being used to seeing people get hurt, get killed and stuff like, but this is America. That's what it's built on. I guess we all got it. You know what I mean?
Because in our communities, we could see somebody get shot. We could, like, I could be in Red Hook and freaking somebody start shooting and I'm standing there. I'm not moving because I'm used to it. You get what I'm saying? Whereas
I'm a move. It's home.
If somebody is, then I'm not saying, like, of course, if somebody is, if it's some shit going on, yeah. But we live, like, if I hear gunshots on another block, like, I'm not moving. I'm just like, yo, who the fuck is shooting? Because that's what I'm used to.
Right.
But everybody is not saying that if it was on the block, I wasn't running, because I'm definitely running. But that's trauma, too, seeing somebody die. Seeing somebody get stabbed up, it could be your cousin, your friend, or whatever, and you don't even realize that it shapes you and it makes you a certain type of person. It might make you untrustworthy. It might make you a certain type of way, but you don't realize it because this is who you are. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what he's saying, but can I chime in on this too?
Go ahead.
I got a theory for our losers.
I mean, you know.
Well, going to church is kind of like therapy.
You know, talking to
you are people's therapist.
Yeah, yeah. I sit in front of people who have different issues and who share and who do things like that. But, you know, it's frowned upon in the black community. It's frowned upon in the black community because it's, you know, men are told boys don't cry.
Facts.
Toughen up, suck it in, you know, suck it up. Those are things that we're taught so wrong, especially as black kids growing up, calling kings when you're 3 years old. Your boyfriend, like you wanted your boyfriend, Lickle Ray Ray, how do you say Lickle?
Lickle
Ray Ray. Got two earrings in his ear and he's 5 years old, 4 gold chains on, and you calling him king. And he doesn't know how to be a prince.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how to be anything. He doesn't know how to be a little boy. Mm-hmm. And you're calling him a king already. Mm-hmm. We're frowned upon because, you know, crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. I'm crying because something inside of me is hurting. And mm-hmm. I want to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't let me get it out. So I have to suck up my feelings as a little boy. Suck up my feelings when it comes to being depressed and oppressed by society, mm-hmm. by women, mm-hmm. by other races. I got to suck all that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get grown, I get, and I'm having a conversation with my lady. I don't know how to express myself now.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up angry. And then I start crying, and I don't understand why I'm doing this
and
stuff.
You can't express yourself to your lady. You're a bitch ass nigga. And you might as well take your ass somewhere with that bullshit.
And then to piggyback off of what Ramon is saying, another demon we have to fight as black people is we need all of the adults in our family functioning, meaning the average black family. The kids start working from the time they could work because everyone needs to contribute to the house for us to function. So I think we know as a race, the minute you start showing any sign of being mentally not there, you're already a burden to the family because they now think you got to go to the doctor. We may not get certain benefits because there's somebody in the house that's sick and they just can't deal with the idea that you're not sick. Bitch, you're not sick. Go sleep it off. You're not this. They try to brush and ignore the signs that something is wrong with you because they need you working and bringing in a check because the bills got to get paid. So we have to also deal with that as well. So a lot of people become functioning and the different things are happening with them because we just ain't got no other choice.
Conditions.
But that's why I feel like, you know, we need parenting classes. Just like motherfuckers go to strip pole classes to learn how to twerk and shit. We need parenting class to learn how to be a parent.
There's no book for being a parent. It's learned.
There's a skeleton. There has to be a skeleton.
Is whatever you think should be.
No.
It is.
How you decide to make your own Rasta Pasta, yes, that's on you. But it has to be a skeleton because basically what they're saying is that these kids are being effective. Somebody's fucking up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Mm-hmm. Somebody's fucking up. At the end of the day, something needs to get done. Maybe someone is avoiding something, don't know how to deal. Because if you're fucked up and you're tough and you're not, then you're gonna lash that out to your children. And you're going to want your children to be tough mm-hmm. and have the same feelings and mm-hmm. don't give a fuck that you have.
That's why you got to go to therapy so you work on yourself.
That's why you got to work on
therapy. You got to go to therapy.
So that you can stop the cycle. Fuck it. Maybe you're fucked up. But hey, go to parenting classes if you have
but
children.
But it doesn't stop.
And
that's
don't, and
that's
don't
down
br-
the
and
line,
don't
though.
The,
you
the
go, the therapist... If you want to go to a therapist, I don't think that it should be it should be looked at as something wrong because you're going to therapy. whether it's a man, whoever. If you want to go to therapy, go to therapy. If you feel like you need some, you don't have anybody to talk to and you feel like a therapist would do it for you, by all means, go do that to get yourself better. If you can't get yourself better yourself. But parenting is down the line. It starts with you. You got to get yourself together in some way before, because even if you go to parenting class, you still not focusing on you. You just focusing on a role. So if you only focusing on a role, you still fucked up. You just focusing on being that person, right, and playing that part. But you got to be okay with yourself so that way you can push that out. What you said is that
you was diagnosed as an adult. So for the next person, they could now be a parent, now be diagnosed, now be fucked up. And yeah, now it's going to affect the way you parent. You understand? So that's what I'm saying.
But my thing is, all right, I was diagnosed as a parent.
I'm not saying you. I'm using that as an example.
But even ADHD, I did that myself. I there were certain things within me and I didn't understand it, and I went and I seeked I did the research to see what was going on, and then I seeked out a person to see if what I thought was true. I did that on my own. Nobody came to me and said, oh, you need to get this sorted out, or you need to do this. Nobody even knew that was the issue. You get what I'm saying? So it started with me and figuring out what is going on with myself and doing the work that I needed to do for myself. And when you do the work that you need to do yourself, then you can be a better parent, or you could be better in whatever roles you decide to play in.
Everybody started talking.
Sorry.
Have you ever heard of generational curses?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
A generational curse is something that I'll give you an example from the Bible and I give you an example from the hood. Okay, David was a man. He loved his women. Mm-hmm. David loved his women. David killed Uriah for his wife, Bathsheba.
Yeah.
Now, David's son, Absalom, raped his daughter, Tamar, who was David's daughter. Mm-hmm. So throughout David's entire life, he had problems with women. His children had problems with women. Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines. So, and that split the entire nation in half after that. So now, let's fast forward to us. Grandmama lived in Brownsville houses, and she was on welfare. When Mama turned 16, Mama got pregnant. She took it down to the welfare office, and she got on Section 8, waited that long time. Boom. Now Mama's on welfare. Now, boom. Next comes you. You got to take that baby down, get him this, get him that, get him this, get him that. And that's just a generational curse. Somebody has to be strong enough to say, this cycle has to be broken. I don't want to live like
but
that.
But you also got to be shown.
That's what I'm saying.
Sometimes you got to be shown that as well. Like, sometimes you got to want more.
That's why you need that class.
But you got
to. No, listen. What I want us to do is, and I say it all the time, we need to break up with dysfunction and unlearn certain shit that we learned from as kids. A lot of us saw certain things growing up, got to adults, know it's wrong, but still holding on to it because this is what mommy went through, this is what daddy went through, this is what they did, knowing it's fucked up. No, break up with that shit. There's certain things my parents did that I saw them do, not they made it through like that, but I will never do it because I know that shit's wrong. We going back to the whole parenting idea, every time we talk about a topic of parenting, we talk about step parents, talk about mixed parents and co-parenting, people are just all over the place. And why is it that we can't just get on the same page with a man and a woman raising a kid, whether you co-parent in the same house, separate house, or even if they have a substitute mom or a substitute dad? Why is it that we try to put these rules and set it up where kids can't have two parents? And people have this whole emotional, well, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, can't do that, not thinking that this child is still not seeing these two solid roles. And the emotions you're putting on top of it is preventing them from happening. So what you're doing is continuing the curse.
That's because people are selfish and they put conditions. Hurt people. Yes.
All right. All of that good. But we need to break up with it.
Yeah.
We need to break up and learn it.
Definitely.
Break up with dysfunction.
Let's see if Fly went to therapy or not.
You went to therapy?
What about you?
Fly needs therapy.
I still need therapy.
For what? What would you talk to a therapist
about? Nah, I'm good though. I went to therapy before. I went to therapy.
For what? You know,
that's my therapist too. Talk to him.
Yeah, what'd you go for?
Life. Yeah, you know, you trying to get it together, you know.
What'd you talk about?
It sucks when you like 30 plus and everything ain't together. Things get depressing after a while, you know? So you gotta pull it back together. You self-reflect, talk to other people, you read, do things to try to fix yourself. You know, change behavior in life, stuff like that.
Do you feel like it helped you?
Helped me a lot, man. I'm more mature now.
Would you go back?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also go to like with my partner if needed. You can't be that's not, you know what I'm saying? You gotta be open to communication. You gotta keep the lines of communication open.
I see why all the ladies like you.
Ladies love handsome locks.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You got to keep the open lines of communication, man.
And if you
looks everything going to fade, communication never will, man.
That's what's up.
Unless you just go.
And if you don't need, and if you don't want to go to therapy.
Sunday, June 9th. We're going to give out coupons. We're going to send you guys to a therapist. Just make sure you show us Sunday, June 9th. June 9th. Party. We're going to have 10 coupons. Therapy is on us.
Y'all can go to church before y'all come to
this. Let's get to the last part of that. How would you deal with your partner telling you they're depressed or suffer from depression? How would you deal with your partner telling you that?
I would definitely try to see what the issue is and why are they feeling depressed. Talk to them. Try to encourage them. Ask what it is, like, see what we can do to help this depression. Like, I mean, you can do but so much. You can make somebody feel good, but it's all about how they feel about themselves. But just being that support system and being that person that whatever they feel like they need, that you trust me enough that you can come to me, you can talk to me, you can cry to me, you can feel like you can be vulnerable with me and we could work through it together.
Okay. Everybody
else. I'm gonna go straight into the actual source. I feel like if your partner was to tell you something like that, then you would have to at least have that conversation. But I would definitely book a session, because sometimes they can't. You know, we're not trained therapists, so
what if you are?
You need somebody. If you are, you would be a therapist. You
know what I mean? Saying, because this is hypothetically speaking.
A lot of people don't like going to their partners if they're therapists. Too, a lot of interestingly.
People. So what I'm saying is that when you talk to your partner, you're acting out of concern. Mm-hmm. So you're not breaking the barrier of whatever the issue is. So I would say I would have a conversation with my partner, and then my next action is to book a session with a third party, because they're going to ask the correct questions, mm-hmm. to figure out where is this issue stemming from, and then we could really deal with the possible solutions to move forward. Because I feel like that's the real issue. It's like you want to get to where is this coming from, mm-hmm. and how could we, mm-hmm. really handle this instead of the thing for the moment. Because if you keep telling your partner, oh, I care, I can help you, I can, of course they're going to say yeah just for you to cut it out, mm-hmm. from right then and there, but then you still have an issue and now you have untreated wound. Mm-hmm. And that's the worst type of relationship, because now anger and frustration is going everywhere, and because you never solved it or you never cared to go take the third part. We're not therapists. If you don't, mm-hmm. get paid to ask those, mm-hmm. type of questions, sit your ass down, say, hey, what's wrong, and book a session. That's the best advice I can get.
For me, I would love the idea that they have identified it, which is a big step, and they've also verbalized it, which is another big step. My question would just be one, what do you want to do? Meaning, do you want me to be involved or do you want me to step back? Because I don't own you and I don't jump into savior mode, because being somebody who's been through depression, sometimes it's not something your partner could help you with. Sometimes it's solitude, sometimes it's meditation, sometimes it's changing your lifestyle. Or sometimes just talking to somebody that's not your partner. Sometimes not everybody knows how to be candid, or not everybody is willing to be, as much as they love you, they're not willing to be as vulnerable as you think they are. So I'm going to ask you, what do you want? Do you want me, or do you want us to do another source, another way? Do you need me to step back? Do you need us to spend less time together? Do you need to readjust some things? What is it that's going to make you comfortable to help you get through this? Some might say, I need you more around me. Some may say, hey, this is for me. If you don't hear from me too much for the next couple of weeks, this is why.
I think the question and is, how can
that
help?
That would be my input. And we take it from there. Because I can't just, it's your mental illness. I can't be jumping around telling you what to do and trying to fix it, because I can't fix you. I want you to fix yourself. Tell me the role you want me to play while you fix yourself.
The question is, how can I help? How can I help you?
Last words on that topic. How would you help? Yeah, how do you help the people?
How do I help the people?
Yeah, your partner, whatever.
My main thing is, I don't try to diagnose anybody when people come to me with questions. I don't try to diagnose you. I don't try to, I don't give you that standard preacher answer, oh, pray about it. Because I want you to pray about it, but there's some stuff that has to come after that. You know, if praying about it and you still feel, you get up still feeling the same way, whether you get help through the therapist or you get help from prayer, you still got help, and it's still God that did it. So if God did it no matter what, it's like if you got a broken arm, if you pray and God miraculously heals it, okay, or if you go and you get a cast put on your arm and over 6 weeks it heals, you take the cast off and it's fine, God is still in the business. So since God is still in the mix, it does not matter, he's still doing it. So I would say, how can I help you? And I would encourage you to get help, to seek help, to seek out another form of, you know, of therapy.
Okay, okay. Well, we're about to switch topics, you know. Later on, I'm going to drop a number in case anybody feeling depressed or dealing with mental health issues. Y'all can call toll-free, you know.
Don't give them my phone number.
Yeah, I definitely drop a number.
Don't drop my phone number.
You know, we're going to switch topics now. Sorry, Pastor. We're going to talk about a little sex, all right?
It's okay. People have it.
Let's talk about being dignitized or pussy whipped. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been dignitized or pussy whipped?
No.
The church ladies ain't watching right now. Church ladies, I'm sorry.
Tell Sister Jane.
I told y'all that this podcast,
it's gonna warm up.
They were not Christian at all times.
Yeah, I feel like if you have it, then something's wrong. You know what I mean?
What is being dignitized or pussy? What is being pussy with? What did you do out of the norm?
I wouldn't know about the other.
Yeah, let's talk about pussy with. What would you say you was pussy with?
To be pussy whipped, I would define it as being in desperate need not to lose that service from that particular person, because it's a feeling that's hard to find. It's like taking drugs, you know, that fucking first high is just different, and you like chase that high and you can never find it again. So when you do find it, you try to keep it. You know, you try to do whatever you can to keep that. And that's what pussy whip is. You try to do whatever you can to keep this happy. And
it's not even like love. That. It's just the sexual feeling.
No, sometimes it still is love, but you know, the actual sex is amazing too. So it's like, mm-hmm. You love this person and the sex is great. Like, I'm not fucking this package up. It might be some regular shit on a chick whose sex might not be that great. Motherfucker might call you, yo son, we going over here. You might leave. You know what I mean? You might leave your crib. Yo, I'm out. I'm about to go chill with my friends. So chick who pussy is banging and that you actually love. Jerry, go home. It depends on what it is.
Can't help,
yeah, I can't. I'm not risking this. It's not even worth it. I'm not. There's nothing else out there that's gonna top what's going on. I'm not. That's not what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So pussy whip is a good thing. You know what I mean? I think if you're in a relationship, you should feel like that.
It's not a good thing if you lose yourself.
Well, you got to be in a relationship.
You don't have to be in a relationship to be pussy
so
whip.
If you're not, don't see, but if you're not in a relationship, then you shouldn't be. There's a problem. Now you need therapy again. Now
you need therapy. You need therapy again. You just want it?
Imagine having the best thing you ever had, then they say, it's sold out. What the fuck you mean? Gotta make some more. what other
Supreme.
Store have it? You know, they got the register. They can tell you which store have it. Or you could go get it in Valley Stream. Or you know what I mean? But if it's sold out, you gonna be heated, bro. So nah, you shouldn't be that. If you're not in a relationship and somebody gets you and you know it, fall back. Fall back. If you can't lock that person in, you gotta fall back. Why would you
only can lock a person in with sex?
No, I'm saying, period. If you have sex with someone, right? And you really like it, like this is like to you, and you know you gotta ask the person out, yo, you know I like you more than, you know, this is more than friendship right here. I said this situationship gotta extend further, and they don't respond. They give you the eye, like, what are you talking about? They give you the rock eye. You gotta fall back, because you're only gonna hurt you, because mm-hmm. you're already dignitized or pussy whipped. You're only gonna hurt you now, because now they're giving you service that you love, that you like, that's out of this world, that you believe you ain't gonna find nowhere else, or you don't want to go look for it, that they're saying you can't have exclusively.
I think that's
stupid.
To me, I thought that's what dignitized and pussy whipped
is, being open off of somebody that's not yours.
Just period. Like, it just keeps you in the situation. Just open up for sex. It keeps you in the situation regardless of what the situation is. Like, the situation might not be bad for you, but the sex is good. But because it's so good, you keep going. You stay.
That sound like a child.
That doesn't sound like a child. Childs don't have sex.
Kids, teenagers have sex.
It doesn't sound like a child because there are people in situationships who they stay in the situationship because the dick is good, or there are people who are in relationships it's just like they don't want to let go. They get lured in because the sex is good, even if it's not a good situation for them. I think that's what
they got. They got to be a little bit wiser then.
That's so the ladies, have y'all anybody?
No,
never.
Nobody, never.
Now, everybody no. lying there.
Everybody.
Listen, I've always been a very sexual being. I've always been open sexually. I've never had no qualms about it. I'm not one of those girls who think sex is taboo. Like, so I've always vibrated. So it's like, so I've never had a situation where it's like, oh my God, I've never experienced this. Like, I have.
It gotta be a nigga who done did some shit.
Yeah, but it's not. But because I'm so open sexually, I don't think that's the only place I'll ever get it. That's what I'm saying.
I almost said something crazy just now.
Speak on it, Pastor.
I almost said it because you never. That was a speak on it. Pray
about it.
All I'm saying is. It's all like, I'm saying is my older sister told me from a very young, not very young age, but when I was obviously sexually active, she's like, don't ever think this amazing sex with one person you'll never get again. So never keep yourself in a situation just for a dick.
But if you're over 30 and you've never been dickmatized, you just had too much sex. You had
that's
too
not,
much
that's
sex.
That's not true.
You,
just,
you can't always get amazing sex from everybody.
You can't. I'm not saying, but listen, I never sex. Said I had
you
amazing
said,
sex
no,
with everybody.
Yeah,
no, she said,
that's serious to
she
me.
Said, she yeah, said, much. Don't think this is going to be the only person you'll ever have really good sex with, and I've as the years went by, this is true.
There's some women in the world who only had one person that was great. So that is
sorry like, to hear that.
I'm just yeah. saying, well, I mean, of course, if you just get it in all the time,
but,
like you
but,
said, black
but that goes.
Had,
but listen, no,
I gotta find
but
this.
But it goes.
It's like you know how some people be like fucking, and then like regular fucking is not enough for them. Now you gotta step on their head. You gotta punch them in the rib before they dunk. You gotta punch. Yeah, you gotta do so much more.
But some
sex is just they've been fucked out. You've been overfucked.
Ain't nobody been overfucked.
No, some people.
A lot of people listen. A lot of women think they have amazing sex because they finally have somebody who touch all their spots. That's what we probably didn't even know she had those
and
spots in the first place. I'm the opposite nigga. I know my fucking spots. You can't tell me that I'm having too much sex. No, I took my time to learn my body. The fuck?
I mean,
I'm sorry that this bitch don't know what the fuck her G-spot is. I'm really sorry. She never had a nigga that discovered it before. Poor her. Poor lady.
Me personally, I've never been dickmatized because, like, to me, sex is the last thing to me. So if you can't stimulate me any other way, like, it don't matter to me. Like, just that's just me. You don't have to have a lot of sex or whatever to determine that. Or you don't have to have a lot of sexual partners to determine that. Like, good sex is good sex. It could be good, but it's done. Once it's done, it's done. Mm.
That's it. That's all, folks.
That's it. Once it's done, it's done. You don't have to be dickmatized. It is, whether you're in a relationship or not. Mm. It comes with other things when you're in a relationship.
I just feel like some people is fucked out.
Overfucked.
Just got overfucked. That's all it is.
You're left in the oven too.
Yeah, yeah. Your pussy is just it's a little bit extra crispy. You know what I mean?
I tell you, like medium well. Hold on. I always sound like medium well.
Yeah, like you know what I mean?
You the type of nigga that be mad when we scroll past your pictures after y'all give us y'all best sex and we just go in my regular programming.
How
would
I know if you scroll past my picture?
because you see I'm online, bitch. You know I'm online. I'm like everybody else picture but yours. I'm like everybody
now,
else shit but yours.
Got 1,000.
Motherfucking Instagram star, nigga. Yo, chill. You tight?
Instagram star. Oh, God.
I got booking info now.
Watch
how you talk to me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I still got 1,000 out here in these streets.
Pastor, how about you? Have you been in a situation? You're gonna get this question.
I know.
A vagina almost ruined your life before.
I think that's a very. I don't want to use the term young-minded, but somebody who hasn't had experience, mm-hmm. who hasn't been experienced, because you know each episode or each person each time is a building block experience. Mm-hmm. So you know, I always
talk
tell
to
parents, I always tell them that puppy love is real to the puppy. So when your kids tell you that they're in love, they really mean that. And it could be something that they never got from you. It could be something that they never got from anybody else. So now you introduce sex, that bond, into it. So now they might be hypnotized off the fact that, wow, I have these emotions and these feelings for this person, and now we've introduced sex into our relationship, and they kill themselves. And they kill, you know, they kill each other based off, you know, that feeling. I think that if you are... So I believe that when you're young, maybe, but when you 30, 35, 40, and you and you still, you know, possessed by that, then there's you need to go to Jesus, because there's something wrong with you. You need to talk to the Lord.
People get caught every day, son.
Yeah, you're right.
People get
dancing
caught
with the devil
every day. Because you got to understand, some people, I'm going to put it like this. So some people were in long-term relationships 8 years. Let's say they was in, let's say a chick was in two long-term relationships, 8 years, 8 years, 16 years out of her life, gone, right? Say she's 35. I mean, from 19 to 35, she was in straight relationship. One might have been, oh, this dude was cute, but he got the little pickle, but he cute. She want to have a cute, a cute baby, supposedly, and the baby still come out ugly or whatever. And then boom, that was 8 years wasted, right? Shit ain't work out with this guy. The next guy, the fucking next guy could have been some dude that just was financially stable. Maybe she was a bum, you know what I mean? And he was financially stable, holding it down, whatever. So now that's 16 years of tolerant sex, where she was just tolerating it because of what she didn't have and what they could provide. Now she's 35. Out there, let's say a city job finally called up. Hey, this is ACS. We want to call you up for an interview. Now they're gonna give you $80,000. You a different person now. Absolutely. Now you in the date parties, ordering bottles. How much is the Ciroc and the now I mean, you moving your fingers and shit like that. Shit a little different. Hookah blowing, you understand? It's a little different now. Now you go home with a nigga like let's say Lie. Shit a little different. Lie's a professional. So now he put the voodoo on you, and now it's a different call. You can be caught up at 35,
but,
is all I'm
but saying. That's not you like that. That's not most people's story. That's not most people's story.
A lot of people's story. Long-term relationship.
Long-term relationship is a wonderful thing.
They've been cheating though in between.
But most people's story is
fucked in a car, in the elevator. Yeah.
They started, most people, I'm going to use, and I say most people, most people in our generation, they started 16, 17, sometimes a little younger. And, you know, maybe they got caught in a couple of long-term relationships, but when they had... what did y'all say before? Those four or five whole stories to where they got caught in the elevator. They got caught here. They got caught there. It happens. But, you know, now that your priorities got to be different at some point in your life to where your number one priority is not sex. I got to use age. If you're 35, 40 years old, and your number one priority is, focus on me. I'm telling you, focus on me. If your number one priority is still sex, then you have a problem. Your problem is your priorities are out of order. Sex comes. It comes. Now, I'm not going to be the one to sit here and tell you, even though I would love for you to say, you know, abstain until you get married. Okay. But if your priority is sex and you're 40 years old, 35 years old, get a real job. Then your priority is going to be, I got to be working at 7 a.m. Look at Ray Ray. Go to sleep. Little Ray Ray's uncle, little Ray Ray's daddy. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
But I am Rockman's success.
Keep in mind, though. I just want you to keep in mind, because I feel like what you said is definitely knowledge. That if that's your priority at that age, there's an issue. But you have grown women telling social media that they're horny. Like, oh, I'm horny at this time. And that's their status. Like,
attention.
Adult
attention. They need therapy because they don't have time.
Women posting certain pictures.
That motherfuckers need therapy. These are like, they need therapy.
Yeah, these are things going on every day. You have grown women telling you their sex lives, oh my God, you're only doing this?
Who's more prone to get caught? Like dick and men or women?
Women every day.
I think men.
I think women because they want a man. Men just want the pussy. Women want a man. So a woman is more prone to be open and want you and want it to be more. A man, he's okay with just fucking, if that's what it is. Because a man is going to be more open to just fucking whoever he could fuck. A woman want to be locked down because that to her is some type of black success.
I think men be pussy whipped before they get the pussy. If that makes
it's
sense.
Happened. I understand.
If that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Break that, it's happened.
Break that
like,
down for me.
You will go above and beyond to get the pussy. Mm-hmm. But once you get it, then it's like, all right, whatever. It's over now.
Cat
like,
and mouse.
If I'm hanging out with you, stuff like that, and the chick I really want hit me, oh, I got to go. I'm out. You know what I'm saying? But if I already hit, it's like, all right, shit.
I get the yeah. I get the whenever I get
the I'll catch you later.
And then what about the woman?
Nah, the women get dickmatized.
Every day of the week.
Women get
dickmatized. Every day
after a while, I think, you know, it's inevitable. Women attach their heart to their vagina. Yeah, so they're going to feel.
I don't think that's inevitable. Always true.
I don't think inevitable.
I disagree.
That's not always true.
Okay.
I disagree.
I'm just saying,
if
like,
they don't,
we do a poll.
They've been over.
I know that's what I was going to say.
It sounds good. It sounds good.
It's the
Bible. It's Easter.
Isaiah 3:42.
We gotta wake this motherfucker up. How the fuck is pussy? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, if you do a poll,
what is going on?
Attached faster, I think so. That's just, but, like I said, as an opinion.
But the thing is, I don't think that it's the sex. I think that women use it as an excuse. I don't think it's necessarily the sex. I think it's what the sex is attached to. So I don't think that they're dick. Yeah, but I don't think that they're dickmatized. I don't think that you fucking them and your actual fucking is what gets them dick, like gets them to want to like get attached to you. I think it's you and the fact that you're giving them that.
But what about or maybe the women that you fuck that don't even know you? So how do they be attached to you like that? But you know,
well, that's getting dickmatized, but that's not every situation. That's not a lot of women though. That just fuck. Well, I don't know your story because I'm you looking like
imagine a chick that want a man, and then here comes Mr. Good Dick. She's gonna want a relationship with you, or at least think about it, or at least ask questions because
but
to
what,
see
what
if
it's
her,
the opposite though.
Think about all those
what
toxic
if
niggas.
It can happen.
You
think,
know what I'm saying?
But often
you
that's
just
how it
stay
happens.
Around
because
they
I
just
think,
got
all
good
all
dick,
I'm saying
right?
It's not every situation.
I think,
no, there's a lot of
I think on average women. I think women get in the situation more often because it's taboo for women to have a lot of partners. So the average woman is sleeping with one person, maybe two, consistently. And from that consistent sex, they're going to build an attachment. But it's not every woman. It's not always going to happen.
I didn't say every woman.
I'm just saying.
The majority.
Based on your question, I'm saying
when
most
you say
women.
The majority?
Mostly happens
say
to
majority.
Women.
So I'm saying most. Say
my
majority.
Nigga.
I go, okay.
It more than likely happens to women because women are not in the habit of fucking a whole bunch of people at once.
They do. They're not into
the
habit of
publicly
fucking multiple. A lot of women pussies are overcooked, overdone,
underloved.
It's almost time to throw that shit away. I'll be honest. At this point, it's like, you know, whoever wants it. Like,
but how do you know?
How do you know if it's overcooked?
Because we all friends.
Well
done. What?
No, listen. I'm gonna tell you.
We all friends. Like
we got that too. You can always tell by the way she answers. Now, the way she answers certain questions, a woman would tell you if she's overcooked because she's like, when they too numb to certain shit, when certain shit don't affect you.
At
like,
me, bro. At me, bro.
Yo,
at me, bro.
Be medium rare, son.
When shit don't affect you, I'm concerned. Like
too
you.
Desensitized.
I'm, yeah, like, how you? Yo. Why
it's
you
just
not,
a train. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Why are you not worried?
Two of my butt. What in my mouth? What is that?
Yeah. It was only eight people watching. It was only eight of them watching.
Y'all so sensitive.
Yeah,
like,
that
Jesus.
Shit is crazy. Like,
I don't care if I'm on a train.
That shit registered with overcooked to me. I'm like, nah, I don't want a part of this. This has been everywhere. You're going to take her to a day party. Motherfucker be looking at you like, yo, look at this. Yeah, man. Nah.
That happens.
You bring one girl in there.
That happens.
Look like,
you bring a girl in and it's like, niggas is just like,
because motherfuckers know you.
Yeah, because you bring one girl in, but it's really like bringing a whole sausage fest in.
That's
like,
she got 19 brothers. 19 bros.
That's
sausage fest. That happened. Like, I've dead seen. I mean, I'm always a sis, so niggas tell me shit, unfortunately, but fortunately, you know, I learned from men, but it's like, that's happened. Like, niggas will literally be like, nah, I fucked her. He brought her in. Da, 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 and I fucked her. And this other nigga took him out. He fucked her. Like, niggas have conversations.
So. Niggas also that, lie. No. Niggas also lie. Niggas lie a lot on their day.
Niggas lie, but niggas have conversations.
Niggas lie a lot. Sometimes they you have nothing to do with a girl coming, but niggas just make eye contact. Women y'all lie. Over here that thinking.
She want me.
Niggas making eye contact and shit.
Women lie most.
Why the fuck?
They lie most because they don't want to be. Because it's a positive if a man is taking down a whole bunch of women.
We're gonna
look at him and be like, wow, that's my man. My son right here killing
that's
shit.
Not a positive.
But a woman,
it's not
a positive for her to be taking multiple peen. And then, listen, Facebook show you everything. I think it's going to get to a point where Facebook is going to show all your bodies. And then everyone's going to be activated. You understand? I think everyone's going to be activated. The year of the Geechee is over.
Show the circle.
Niggas,
how you,
but niggas
you connected
do,
to
niggas do lie because, especially if they if they're dick measuring or if they feel like, you know what I mean? Like,
what
nah,
is
she
that?
Was on dick measuring. Or, hey, listen, dick measuring is no. Dick measuring is that. When you try to one up the nigga, one up your friends, one up like you feel a need that you got to prove. It's like an ego thing. You feel a need that you got to prove that. You're above that person, but you do it in a way, like, especially, I've been in between dick measuring a lot. Like, where
sorry.
It's like,
you're measuring dicks, Danny?
No, I've been in between niggas dick measuring where it's like, because I'm cool.
On you?
Yes.
Why we missed this hussy question?
It's not a hussy because nobody's measuring dicks. It's a hype. It's hypothetical. It's hypothetical.
I know
he's
saying like you've been in the middle and it's like,
where it's just
I
like,
fucked her, I fucked her too.
No, it ain't no, I fucked her, I fucked her too. But it's like, oh, like, you like her. And I like her, but I've got to show you that she's on me more than she's on you, or that I'm closer to her than I'm closer to you, like shit like that. Like a, I don't know what the fuck to call it, but that's what dick measuring is. When you feel like you got to one up the next person over a chick. It's stupid. It's super stupid.
That's, I don't do that. I don't know.
It's a very childish thing that you should be doing.
Listen.
Yeah, very childish. Childish. But you know men do that shit all the time.
Men lie a lot on what they do. They think that it's a positive thing.
They exaggerate.
Yes. You don't want a woman that's had sex with 50 different men, and no woman wants a man that's had sex with 50 different
thank you,
men, women. Don't nobody want that. Nobody wants
that. That's a turn off.
That's it is.
You know,
no. But guys think that.
Cool.
Yes, it is.
Because
guys think
tell
that that's
number.
Cool.
How many women has the pastor slept with in his life?
In my entire life.
In your life.
You're grown.
I'm grown.
Pass on the hot seat.
I'm a
grown
Gemini.
Good side of y'all.
You're a Gemini, right?
Yes, I'm a Gemini.
He's a grown Gemini.
I don't lie, so I would never have to tell. I would never have to take a shot. Never lie. Okay. But
few in your time.
The number is up there. Let me tell you why. Because I grew up in a household where my father went to prison, my oldest brother went to prison. My uncle used to come here and call himself the pipe man. And he said he was 90 years old, calling himself the pipe man, and he would ask me how many girlfriends I had. And so I would lie and say, I got 5 girlfriends, and he'd give me $1. If I said I had 7 girlfriends, he'd give me $2. So that mentality was brought up in me. So when I joined the military, I had a sick, don't look at it now, but I had a six pack abs. We used to be in a club with no shirt on.
I saw that old picture.
Did you like it? Did you
like it? It was cute.
Did you like it?
I think I did.
Did you just regular like it or did you drag it to the heart?
I don't know.
Next time, put the little heart eyes underneath it.
All right.
Go back for the heart eyes. But yeah, I grew up in that kind of mentality. So, you know, it was catch a girl, get a girl. Catch a girl, get a girl. Nobody ever told me that. When I'm 35, that's not gonna be cool. Mm-hmm. That nobody's gonna want that.
Was you eating pussy throughout the whole time?
Yes,
I'm sorry. She's nasty. You was eating pussy throughout the whole time.
No, everybody. That's a special thing.
You saying men are institutionalized, kinda, like yeah. And being hoes, like growing up, because when you growing up, you're young. It's like, you why you not getting it in? Why you not? Why you not?
And that's crazy.
So we really do need
therapy. You know how to say no.
You was forced.
No,
you was
as a young man. I'm talking about.
Lie. You was forced into this life. This ain't who you really are. You was
no. I'm with the therapy. I'm fixed now. I'm fixed. I don't.
June 9th, please. June 9th.
Yo, we towards the end. Let's real quick. Since my pastor is here, you know what I'm saying, my boy Rockman. Anybody want to ask?
Oh God, ask the pastor.
Where ask the pastor a question before we get out of here. You know, life question, anything, man.
Yes, yes, yes.
Danny
yes,
giving
yes,
me these eyes, and I'm kind of confused by what she's about to ask me.
I'm not about
she
to ask about you to anything go crazy.
It's the math section of the hyperglycemic origin of the hypotalamus.
Okay, Black, what's your question? Let's see.
So, Pastor, what advice do you have for the people that are out there that probably don't want to go to church but do want the word? Like, where could they find a balance?
I suggest that everyone go to church. And you might go to church that you don't like, but because the Bible says it like this. The Bible says to oh, taste and see that the Lord he is good. So to taste and see, you start with reading your Bible. You start with, maybe you might watch it on TV, but you have to come where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. You go to church for a reason. There's a reason to go to church, to find out that, hey, Danny went through this and she survived. So I know if I'm going through it, I can survive. And you know, you can glean off other people. So I can't give you advice on not going to church, because that's not how it's intended. Mm. The church is the hospital. It's the doctor's office. It's the therapy room. Mm. It's where you go and you get filled back up. So I can't tell you not to go to church. I will tell you, you might not like the church that you want to. Find another one.
Well, I just don't like tithes, because I feel like, where's the money going? No, I'm being honest with you. Where's the money?
I paid mine for 6 months straight. I still didn't get threesome.
One pastor messed me up one time. Not only was the actual tithes a real issue for me, because I'd never seen where the money was going. You know what I mean? I'm giving a large sum of money every week. Where's this money going? Like, are we building something? Are we doing something for the kids? Are we doing something for the hood? I never seen that. But there was one time after Hurricane Sandy, I had went to my local church to help clean it up, because everywhere was ruined. And the pastor was watching us clean. And like, he was just standing there watching us clean. And I looked around and I was like, holy fuck, like, this is your church. So I just put the broom down and like left, like, because I feel like the pastor is still one of us. Like, you can't put yourself that much higher to where, like, even pastors should tithe. Y'all work too.
Absolutely.
But y'all don't tithe.
Who don't?
Y'all don't tithe.
Who don't?
I never seen a pastor put the thing in a thing.
Well, you
thing in a thing.
You're going to the wrong church. Let me tell you something.
Where's your church?
My church is 160 to 164 Monticello Avenue, Jersey City, New Jersey. Be there. You'll see us all tithing. Okay. All of us. Okay. But let me tell you something about Jesus. And this is why when I do weddings, people ask me, how much do you charge? My answer is always the same. How much did Jesus charge? The answer to that is nothing. Jesus never charged a person for a thing. Now, if you will feel comfortable not giving a person who performs the ceremony at your wedding $0, and I'll be fine with that, because I'll give a gift. But we get the mentality of most pastors, yes, most pastors, is messed up, because they think that because they got the title, they don't have to do the work. The work of a pastor is a servant. Mm-hmm. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Mm-hmm. He washed the feet of the man who betrayed him. He washed Judas's feet. Mm. Jesus was a true servant. He's the example of true servitude. And so as a pastor, I know you sit in the pulpit, you got the nice pretty chair, you got this, you got that, but your job is to be in the gutters. Your job is to be with the prostitutes, with the semen running down her leg, the crackheads, with the needle hanging out their arms, the AIDS patient. That's where your job is to be. The problem with most pastors is they get high-minded, and they're going to pay for that. I always tell people, it's going to be more child molesters, yes, I said child molesters, in heaven than there will be pastors. Because those child molesters who made those bad choices, they're going to come to themselves and go to God. And those pastors think, oh, I'm good, I'm a pastor, all these people got saved under my ministry, and you're going to open up your eyes in hell.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That was deep.
I got a question. It's
Don't ask me if you're going to hell for having sex to stomp.
Nah. What's your stance on, like, marriage and divorce?
My stance is what the Bible says. What does the Bible say?
Is it? Yeah.
Let
the Bible says that save for fornication, which means that you should stay in your marriage unless your spouse cheats. And I say this, you should stay in your marriage even after your spouse cheats. I would rather you divorce because he slapped you in your mouth, or because he's verbally abusive to you, than if for cheating. Because we make a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah, that's so hitting is worse. Not worse, but like, yes, when they hitting, say for better or for worse. So
hitting is worse. Hitting is worse. I would come, if a woman called me and said, my husband hit me, I would drive to the house and say, get in the car. If he said my husband's been telling me for years that I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'm ugly, and I start and you start to believe that kind of stuff. So I would tell you, come get in the car. But if you say my husband cheated on me, I would say, okay, what do you want to do? The Bible says I should leave. I said, well, what do you want to do? Go to God. Speak to God about this thing. We move off emotion way too much. And when we need to go to God and say, God, listen, you know how I feel. So God, tell me what to do. And his answer is going to be yes, no, or wait. We're good with God saying yes to us. We're all right with God saying no to us, but we're horrible with God saying wait to us.
Is divorce a sin?
Patience.
Divorce is not a sin.
Divorce is not a sin. Okay to do that in the Bible?
Yes, the Bible speaks on if he's cheating on you. You get married at 18, and now you're 20. You realize he's a bum, and you want to move. You want to leave. That's your story. That's the story that you have to go through. You have to grow with this man or grow with this woman. I'll give you a quick Bible story. Uh-huh. God told the man to marry a prostitute. He said, go marry this prostitute. So he went and married her. And every time he would go to work, every time he'd go, she'd go and she'd be having sex. He would have to pay for her to finish, watch her finish. She had children. She had all this other stuff with other men, not him. And he still brought her back in. He still brought her home. That's the same way God does with us. We go, the Bible calls it a whoring after other things. We go a whoring after other gods. We spit in God's face on a regular basis. We spit in God's face on a daily basis. And then when it's a school shooting, we say, God, why you ain't it? Why the school get shot up, God? You ain't there. Oh, God, why I got cancer, God? But your whole life, you kick God out of your life forever. And then when things get bad, oh, God, why this happened? God, why that happened? God, why is this? God, why that? No, if you search after God, if you seek after God, he'll seek after you. So we have to take the mentality of, oh, I can do this, but I'm doing this because I can. It's a lot of stuff we can do because we can. But what does God say about it? What does God say about your divorce? What does God say about this? What does God say about you late night texting with another man? What does God say about you late night texting with another woman? Yeah. What does God say about you hard eyes and under the preacher's past pictures?
He told me to. Also,
I wanted to ask, how, can you compare someone accepting cheating when they are in the dating stage compared to marriage?
I would accept cheating.
What I'm saying is, if you accepted it, in the dating stage, before you got married, can you really divorce for cheating if you already knew the behavior prior to the commitment?
Well, the simple answer to that question is yes. But the problem with that question is the fact that why would you accept somebody who's trying to get to know you, to build a relation with you, stepping out on you, and then coming back and you being okay with it, and then not expecting, like you said, the behavior to continue? To cheating is a process to cheating. I woke up one day, I was walking down the street, oh, I slipped a banana peel and pow, now Susie pregnant with little Ray Ray. Mm-hmm. It don't work like that. Right. Cheating involves lying, it involves deception, it involves all these other things. Yes, it's all the stuff involved in cheating. Talk. So since it's all the stuff involved in cheating, you know, you can't just say, I made a mistake. Sin is not a mistake. Sin is a bad choice. But it's a choice that you made, and it's a choice that you got to live with.
Free will. I'm a very spiritual person. Not very religious.
Okay, let me wipe the sweat.
No, I'm not going to say nothing crazy.
That's my question.
I didn't even ask the question yet. Do you feel like your way is the only way?
Do I feel like my way is the only way?
Yeah, because like I said, I'm not very religious, you know, I hear everything that you're saying, and, you know, there are certain things I agree with, there are certain things I don't agree with, you know what I mean? But yes. I respect your perspective, but I just want to know, because I know there are a lot of Christians and a lot of people who are religious who feels like their way is the only way, and they try to throw their religion on you. I know you don't do that, but I just want to know, do you feel like your way is the only way?
When it comes to heaven, when I say my way is the only way, the answer to that question has to be no. But when my way being the only way, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if that's what you mean, then I have to say yes to that.
Okay.
But if my way of doing it, going to church, falling down, screaming, hollering, and, you know, waiting on God, no, that's not the only way. Jesus said, I have sheep of this fold and sheep not of this fold. So I have people that does it this way, but I have people that does it a different way. But they've all accepted him. And for me, it's about acceptance. I wouldn't care if, you know, certain churches were, my churches, we wear suits. Certain churches, they don't. My church, you know, we stay in there a long time. Certain churches, they out in 20, 30 minutes. So is my way the only way when it comes to accepting Jesus Christ? Yes. When it comes to the way I do church? No, absolutely not.
Oh, no, nah, yeah, right. I'm kidding. So for people who've had horrible experiences with church, me personally.
Church hurt.
I mean, like, I was dragged to church 7 days a week, and I didn't want to be there, especially when I'm young. Now I'm older, I have choice. I don't go. You go into a space where, not for nothing, you always feel judged. Somebody always got something to say from how you dress, from your lifestyle. Somebody's always trying to check up on you, see what you're doing in life, who you're dating, your kids, all this. It feels like it's not a comfortable space for a lot of people, especially if you're supposed to come as you are and come flawed and come and bear your soul, basically, and you're coming here for guidance. And not a lot of people like how they feel in church. Not necessarily not the relationship they have with God and the pastor or whatever, just the relationship with everybody else. So how do people in that space can have a relationship with God without going to church?
Again, I would say, first thing, I have to address your question in parts. The first part is the part where they feel judged by the people around them. You don't go to church for the people around them. You go to church for a different reason. You go to church to get closer with God, to glean from what you can. I would say to change the space that you go to, the church that you go to where you find a space that's comfortable. Not church hop, mean I'm going to this church on Tuesday, or I heard this church is popping, I'm going to that church. No, not like that. You have to find a place where you do feel comfortable, but your comfortability should be a little uncomfortable, if that makes any sense, if your lifestyle is not leading you. Sometimes the people feel hurt and they feel judged, but it's called being convicted. The Holy Spirit is tugging at your heartstrings, and he's telling you, hey, you might need to change this. And, you know, you feel like, oh, no, that's the people judging me. Oh, look at the way why she looking at me like that? Why he looking like that? Why he doing this? Why he doing that? But unfortunately, with church, there is a thing called being church hurt. But I fight against people saying they're church hurt, because if the church where people are coming to get better hurt you, imagine what the world is going to do to you. Imagine what's going to happen. Oh, if they gossip with you on church, then in the world, everybody going to say, they're not going to gossip. They're going to say that, oh, we all was with her. Oh, we all did this. Oh, we all did that. So I would just suggest finding a different space, but still to find a space, someplace where you feel comfortable. So again, I went going to churches where the pastor came out in jeans. I don't feel comfortable like that. And I don't feel comfortable like that because I do it. The Levitical order says that they dressed a certain way. The leaders dressed a certain way. So, but if you walked in my church, we had men walk in the church in dresses. We had men walk in the church in dresses, and we knew they were men. Did we throw them out? Absolutely not. Because God does not hate anybody. God loves his children. He loves his children. Do we do wrong? Absolutely. Does he want us to do right? Absolutely. But you can't get to a place where I'm so hurt by the church. Because you didn't get hurt by the church. You got hurt by the people. You get hurt by people. So I know I got to wrap this point up.
I got one more question.
Uh-oh. You're done. So just make sure that you're in a space to where you find a space to where you can feel comfortable in your own skin while you're changing and adapting to the way God does things.
Last question. Really want to ask somebody who's a pastor this. So if we follow our history back, all the way back, let's say around 400 years ago.
Oh, okay. I wonder what happened then.
A lot of us were taken on a nice special cruise from one side of the world to another side of the world. Where our traditions and how we worshipped and how we were spiritual was different on this side of the world. So my question is, what do you have to say to the people who have the question of, or they like to remind you that the same people that gave you Jesus gave you the word nigga?
I would say this, and I get this question a lot. You get this question. The Bible says that I will advance you in the land where you were oppressed at. That's in the Bible. I will advance you in the land where you were oppressed at. So where were we oppressed at? right here. Mm-hmm. Where are we advancing at? Right here. The fact that we worshiped a different way and we worshiped idol gods and we were doing it this way and doing it that way and Africa and all that other stuff, it means nothing. I what I want people to focus on is the fact that first it was Osiris and Horus. That mm-hmm. was Jesus. Mm-hmm. First, oh, Jesus is nothing but a retelling of Osiris and Horus. Well, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Let's definitely be clear wasn't. About that. Mm-hmm. But he was born. Horus, Osiris was born. His mother prayed for his father to get a new penis. He had sex with her with a golden penis. Read your history. Yeah. A golden penis, and boom, that's how she got pregnant. Jesus wasn't born that way. Mm-hmm. Now Jesus is Amon. Mm-hmm. That's the one they're going to talk. Amun-Ra, if you want me to say mm-hmm. it the way they say it. But the Bible speaks on them serving Amon. Or Amun-Ra, that's in the Bible. So how can it be somebody that's already in the Bible that they're speaking about them serving? I want you to understand that the devil is a chess player. The uh-huh. devil plays chess. Mm-hmm. And we, compared to him, play checkers. We jump here, we jump there, we jump here. But he has a piece waiting in the corner for when you make the right move, he attacks. He attacks, and that's how strategic he is. He's been setting up your demise for years. He's smarter than you. He's stronger than you. He's better than you. But you have a weapon. You have the name of Jesus.
I say his name is Jesus.
When you call on Jesus, the Bible clearly says that demons tremble, and they flee. So I want you to understand that there's a way that seemeth right unto man. The way that seems right, oh, if I'm African, I got to go back to my African traditions. Half of y'all that say y'all know your African traditions, never been to Africa. Never been there. I've been to Africa, several countries. And then y'all say, oh, well, y'all read one book. Y'all read one little portion of one book, yep. and y'all got it. Yep. Let me tell you something. Slank. I did 30 college credit hours on Egyptian history. Mm. 30 of them. So don't come at me with this, oh, he's this, he's that, he's this, he's that. And it bothers me because y'all get so confused and y'all want to know the origins when y'all have this book right in front of you. It's right in front of you. It's everywhere. The Bible is everywhere. You don't want to read it, but you'll go get, I want to get the Dead Sea Scrolls. I want to get the book, the Epic of Gilgamesh. You never even heard of the Epic of Gilgamesh, but you want to read it. Mm-hmm. You don't even know who Gilgamesh was or what he was. Mm-hmm. That's Mesopotamian folklore for those who wanted to know. Right. But so I just get it bothers me so much when people want to say, oh, we did it this way in Africa. We wasn't doing it like that in Africa. We weren't doing it like that in mm-hmm. Africa. You don't know what we were doing in Africa. Facts. And you don't know God's plan for us to come out of Africa. Facts. And the problem is people say, oh, you justify slavery because we got Jesus? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm not justifying slavery. But he's building us up in a land of our oppression. Last piece. When
maybe we're oppressed because he wants us to get built.
Maybe. We're gonna talk about lying. But when the Jews left Egypt, they left with gold, they left with silver, they left with brass, they left with stuff. Most people, when they release their servants, they release them with stuff. When they released the African Americans, they released them with nothing.
They didn't give a shit.
Nothing. We still talk about reparations 100 years later. But today, we have almost everything. He has brought us up in a land where we were oppressed, that he has built us up in his land. And y'all, and when I say y'all, I don't mean y'all. Mm-hmm. I mean, in general, y'all are tearing it down. Everything that God has given us, y'all are tearing it down. We by spitting in his face, by pulling at the seams, by teaching your children these things that you don't even understand. You invite these spirits into your home and wonder why your kids go crazy.
Facts.
What I say, everybody want to burn sage with the windows closed and all types of stuff?
Burn fabulous.
You don't even know what burning sage does.
They burning fabulous now.
And then there be the negative. The next energy. Energy.
Yes, you. Yes.
Burn you.
What the fuck is you doing, man?
Hey, yo, we at the end of our show, man.
And burn you.
I want to thank my brother Robin for pulling up, man. The pastor, the good old pastor, giving a good word today on this Easter day. Everybody throw their shout outs out. Let's go. Shout outs. Pastor, start with you, guys. Throw your shout outs out real quick.
I don't. You know, my church is 160, 164 Monticello Avenue, Jersey City, New Jersey. Come and get baptized. No, I enjoy the energy of brown holy water. Yeah. So I really enjoy, you know, before Lot started working at Burger King, me and him used to work together. That's where I met him. And, you know, I always respected what he did. And so, and the way he did it, his flexing, flirting. But, you know, the people that has been introduced, I introduced to Black Success and Danny and Tanya, you know, y'all have a good thing going. I just hope that y'all are able to keep this bond together.
Amen.
And keep it going and build it up. Because, you know, the streets is talking. I got, I'm telling you, two people that I was Black Success when I was walking across the street. I was like, not me, but it could be me. So my prayers for you guys is nothing but growth and success. And, you know, once a month, you know, Preacher's Corner, I'll be here. Just call me up.
That's what's up.
All right, Tanya, let's go.
Shout out to everybody who tuned in tonight. We had a really good show. BGT times 592 Master Shipments leave tomorrow. I'm about to go home and I'll drop your stuff off. So if you're in Guyana, they should be probably by the end of the week, you guys should get it. Don't forget, pre-orders close April 30th. So if you still have, you haven't decided what you wanted, you should have decided your costume. Remember, you don't need a costume to get a carnival kit, son. The parties are going to be packed. Get you a tumbler, go to the bar one time, buy four drinks, and find your ass by the stage so you don't want to be up and down all the time. DM me if you want your order. I am _badgirltanya on Instagram. Makisha Norton on Facebook. Bad Girl Tanya is still taking orders. I'm going to slow down at the start of May and then I'll come back up for June. Obviously, I won't be in the country because I'll be in Guyana, but I'm still taking custom orders for those of you who keep asking. Thank you, everybody who's still supporting me through the time. Last but not least, shout out to my Nico, 347-356-4855. Level up watch.
Right while I'm sitting here. Yo, stop the show before I get mad.
You know, we can come to you. We need marriage counseling. I promise you.
Shout out to everybody who tuned in. Shout out to this man right here because, I really appreciate it. Everything that you said today, and I'm happy that I finally got to meet you face to face. Shout out to my team, and you can follow me on Instagram at your favorite tomboy, and you'll see me in the comments later. Mel, don't say shit.
Shit in front of the pastor?
Oh, I'm sorry. after
them niggas done say,
God loves me regardless. I could curse. God loves Handsome. Me.
Wake up, Jason. Get up.
Yo, Handsome 15 Instagram, Craven Moorhead Facebook. Go to brownholywaterpodcast.com. Go get your shirts, your tank tops. That weather's breaking. Go get it. June 9th, our day party, season finale day party. Get your early bird tickets. They're going fast. We got table section available. My pastor just bought two tables. It's lit. He's going to be passing out holy water. And that's it, man. We see y'all next week, man. Thank you for pulling up over here. Happy Easter, all right?
Yeah. All right. Y'all already know what it is. You're putting Black Success. You know what I mean? Real. Sorry. Talk closer to the mic. Sorry about that. It's your boy Black Success. I like to dim my eyes when I talk to y'all. You know what I'm saying? So listen, I'm going to just tell y'all this. Sunday, June 9th is going to be real serious. Special outfits, perfect parking right in the
party park. Party sure.
Truck number. I might be doing something different to it too, just to add on to it. But that's neither here nor there. Make sure you get your tickets. The early bird tickets is there now. It's only $25 from there. We go up.
So, all the way. That's the rich point. That's the money point.
I mean, if you want to be balling and you want to just get the higher tickets, that's on you. But if you smart,
use your Amex
you
card.
Just pay a quarter. Use your Amex. You know what I mean? Or you know, you could be next to Jay-Z. You know what I mean? That's a lie. I'm more the police type. But y'all already know what it is. I go out there with I Am Black Success. I'll put the second link in the comments. Follow me on Instagram. I Am Black Success. We out of here. Young Snack.
Y'all been waiting too long, so I came back this time with a new song. Same old attitude, wanting y'all to sing along. What we talking about? Fill it up and put that thing on. Know we got that brown, holy water. Watch it, y'all be sipping merch. Drop it, black, bless it, la, pop it. Tanya, pour it, Georgia, rock it. Every Sunday at 7, yeah, you can't stop it. Like, share, follow, don't forget to comment. Getting baptized by every topic. Heard we the best, but I ain't the one that gossip. Brown, holy water, watch it. Y'all be sipping merch. Drop it, black, bless it, la, pop it. Tanya, pour it, Georgie, rock it. Brown.